Now, the last few times I've preached, I've been preaching out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. Three of my last three. Don't even know how that works. But three of my last four sermons, I've been preaching out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. And this is the passage where Jesus gathers his 12 together, his 12 disciples, and he sends them out on their first ministry missions trip. Up until this point, those 12 had just seen Jesus do lots of awesome things. They had heard lots of Jesus' teaching, but then all of a sudden Jesus says, hey, guess what? Guys, now it's time. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to send you out. And what I want you to do is I want you to see lepers healed of their sickness. I want you to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. I want you to raise the dead, heal the sick, mend the brokenhearted. And then he goes into teaching what to expect when you start stepping out and living a life where you're saying, look, I'm no longer living for me, but I'm living in a way where the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be evident through my mouth, but also through my life. And he says, hey, guess what? These are some things that you should expect. So if you want to find out a bit more of that, you can always look on our webpage for the past sermons. But I'm going to be jumping in from verse 16 all the way through to verse 27 today at this service. And tonight I'm going to finish chapter 10. So I figured, I reckon 5 is about the right number for chapter 10. So if you like the content of this morning, then you're more than welcome to bring someone else along tonight and we'll go into the next part of it. But Matthew 10, verses 16 to 27. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. It's encouraging, eh? Has anyone watched on Netflix AD? Seriously, does anyone have Netflix here? Type in AD and it's after Jesus' crucifixion, about 12 episodes of the interactions out of the book of Acts. It's awesome. I was just watching episode about 10 last night and one of the women, Tabitha, got whipped and her back was completely ripped open. It's just like, whoa! Just hectic, but at the same time, it also, we're very blessed to live in a nation where persecution isn't at that level at this point in time. Hope it doesn't end up like that, but I want to encourage you, let's make sure that our faith is just founded and grounded in a deep and intimate relationship with Jesus. Because persecution will come in one way, shape, or form. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. Whew. A father will betray his own child, and children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers, but everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you've reached all the towns of Israel. Students are not greater than their teachers. And slaves are not greater than their masters. Students are to be like their teachers, and slaves are to be like their masters. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, this is Jesus speaking, he's saying, I've been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed. And all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when the daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops to all to hear. Before we go any further, let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it isn't just a collection of random thoughts, but it is the inspired word of God. that it's sharper than any double-edged sword, that it cuts through spirit and marrow, that in your word is life, in your word is light. And we pray that in Jesus' mighty name, that as we just break down and break through this chapter of scripture that might on the surface seem very challenging and hard to palate at times, we pray that your word would bring life to us and that it would bring light to dark areas of our hearts and minds, that we would be transformed. We'd go from glory to glory in Jesus' name in this place, because we know that for each and every single one of us, there is more. There is more anointing. There's more authority for us to step into. There is more identity to uncover. And we ask that we would step into a greater level of understanding, a greater level of revelation through the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 That's a pretty big chunk of scripture and some pretty full-on stuff in there, hey? See, when I was first reading the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, the first part, you preach it and you're like, yeah, heal the sick, raise the dead, awesome. And then all of a sudden you get to here and you're like, your father's going to betray you. You're going to get called names like Sook and Silly Billy. You know, all this stuff's going to go down. It's going to be full on. But that's because Jesus promised us that in this life you will have trials. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. We're not greater than Jesus. We can't live in a deluded mentality of just abundance and blessing and that there will be no opposition. That is called being ignorant and naive. And sometimes I find in my own heart and my own thinking, sometimes I position myself in that place just because everything's going okay. Not everything is okay. And that's why we're called to be the hope of the world. A light into darkness. People that actually don't just enjoy blessing, but choose to bring blessing. Not just hoard the good news, but bring the good news to the people in the world around us. So Jesus starts teaching and saying, look, when things get tough, here are some things you need to know. I like how Pastor Dave says it quite regularly. Sometimes this is like the halftime of the footy. And sometimes in footy games, it does actually get tough. You get battered, you get bruised, you have big blokes on the field that are going hard. And Jesus is right here telling his guys, hey, look, when it does get really tough, here's some stuff that you need to know. So first off, point number one, be shrewd and be gentle. Verse 16, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves. Now, in the Bible, obviously it's made up of different languages, but the vast majority is both Hebrew and Greek. The New Testament, Greek, the Old Testament, predominantly Hebrew. Now, in Hebrew, the word shrewd is arum, which means cautious, cunning, subtle, crafty, or prudent. But in the Greek, and that's where we find this passage of scripture, because this is in the Gospel of Matthew. I can't pronounce this 100% accurately, but it's phronimoi. I can't pronounce it. I tried to do it on my pronunciation app that I have, but I just kept on saying, I'm just like, I can't do this, Jesus. So I was trying to say it, but in the ancient Greek, this word is for wisdom or intelligence, but not just wisdom or intelligence, because it's of practical character or practical nature. When it is not simply translated by words meaning intelligence, it is often translated to practical wisdom, or sometimes even more traditionally to the word prudence. So to contextualize this thought, when we go out to preach the gospel, when we go out to actually share our faith, when we choose to live a life where we've decided in our hearts, you know what, I know that this isn't the end. I know that there's eternity in store for each and every single one of us. So I'm going to live each day with in mind the reality of the gospel and choosing to bring the reality of gospel into my workplace, into my family, into my friendship circles. Things that we need to be aware of is, number one, we need to be shrewd. We need to be cautious and cunning. We need to be subtle and crafty. We need to be prudent. We need to have some nous about the approach that we take. Recently, I went to Awakening, which was awesome. Thank you, Katie. They were having a very different experience when they were going out to preach the gospel. Some of these young people or some of these other people, and I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm not saying it's right, I'm just observing and just sharing some stories, okay? But some of these guys were saying, oh, I was just going up to people and saying, Jesus loves you. And then most people were telling them, mate, piss off. Oh, I don't know if I should have said that. And sorry, that was a quote. But a couple of these guys, that was their approach, just running up to people and going, man, God loves you, like getting right in people's faces. And most of the responses for these people go, like, get a life, mate, get out of here. Away with you, you odd humanoid. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Like, if you're motivated and that's all you can do, I honestly believe, and I've heard of people actually coming to faith through that approach. But honestly, what I've found here in Western civilization, especially in Australia, if you do that, that approach will generally, I'd say 90% to probably 98% of the time, get a response of, get out of my face, who the heck are you? And that's why I think it's also important to actually take stock, to stop and think, what approaches could work? How could I do this differently? How could I be shrewd? How could I be cunning? How could I think about the way that I approach presenting the gospel in such a way that people aren't just going to put a door up as soon as I come to them, but people are going to open up and be more receptive when I approach them? So one thing that I did, and this is just a random example, and I want to encourage you, this was just off the back of me thinking about it and chewing on it. One approach that they were having is being invitational. And obviously we have the opportunity next Sunday to be invitational to our Christmas carols event. Hence why I said I'm going to dress up in Christmas attire and just go stand down there. Yeah, well, some of them might tell me to nick off. But generally if you're in costume or it seems like you're there for a reason, people are pretty cool with it. I went into Eastlands because we had our Christmas breakup for youth group on Friday, not last Friday, but the Friday before, in a skin tight Christmas Santa sort of onesie thing. I don't even know what it is. It's creepy. Highly recommend. Don't buy them from shiploads. But I was wearing some shorts and this outfit and had like this Santa sack with me. And the amount of people that just stopped and wanted to have conversations, and I deliberately made sure I grabbed a bunch of our flyers in the process. I was like, oh, you think this is fun? You got to make it to this. But people were receptive because I'd actually thought about the approach. And I want to encourage you in the same way, think about the approach to your family. Think about the approach to your friends. Think about the approach to your colleagues. Think about the approach to the school that your kid goes to. Think about the approach, because the way that you approach it can actually have an incredible difference. When I was at Awakening, and back to now the initial story that I was going to say, after hearing some of these guys saying, oh, people are just telling us to rack off, I was like, how about we try this? I got out my phone, and that night we had a guy named Nick Vukovic. I cannot pronounce his name. How pronounce it for me, Ben?
Vujicic.
There you go. You can ask Ben later how to pronounce that. Now, he was speaking, and I thought to myself, you know, a lot of people in Melbourne, when you're walking somewhere, it's just like, blinkers on. I don't want to talk to anyone. I've got my headphones on. And I was like, how about I get a video of him preaching, and just when I get to the traffic lights, just stand there holding it up like this and go, whoa, that's awesome. And it's amazing then how many people, when I just went to different traffic lights, watching this video going, that's incredible. people would then go. And all of a sudden, they were the ones intruding on my space. Shrewd. They were intruding on my space, and I was like, have you guys seen this guy? And it was amazing. He'd actually preached in Melbourne sometimes in schools around Melbourne. So there was a few young people that were like, we had him speak at our school. And I was just like, he's speaking at this event at Marvel Stadium tonight. What are you up to? And the amount of people that were receptive off the approach of being prudent was a lot more well, it was more well received than just running up to people and going, Jesus loves you. Like I said, if that's your approach, then, you know, just completely bypass my teaching. But that's just what I found. This is just an observation. And I want to encourage you that around this time of year, people are generally pretty open for discussion about Christ because it is Christmas after all. So let's make sure that we stop, take a moment, reflect and think, how can I approach? How can I share? How can I be, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You know, for different fish, you need different lures. For different fish, you need different bait. For a shark, you're just going to chuck a whole heap of meat and blood in the water. But if you're catching trout, you might need the right lure. So maybe give that some thought and reflection and go, how am I going to approach the way that I either invite or the way I share my faith or the way that I share the gospel? You know, all three of those avenues all help bring glory to God and help soften people's hearts to receive the good news. But how am I going to approach that with these people? And with that in mind, so number one, being shrewd, and number one, part two, is be gentle. The gospel isn't just a marketing sale. It's the good news of God reconciling man to himself. So be careful to not just try to get a sale, so to speak. It's about presenting the good news of how God loved us so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, some religions may go around with a violent approach to try to get converts, but that definitely wasn't Christ's message. So make sure that when we go about presenting the gospel, sharing our faith, that it isn't done in a standing over someone approach. You will know Jesus. But it's out of a heart to serve and to love. Number two, prepare for pain and there's purpose in the pain. When we're living a life where you have decided, I will preach the kingdom of heaven is near, we need to prepare for pain and realize that there's purpose in the pain. Verse 17 says, but beware, for you'll be handed over to the courts. You'll be flogged with whips in synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity, everyone say opportunity, to tell the rulers and other believers about me. Despite your best efforts to avoid it, I assure you persecution will come if you choose to preach the gospel. The best way to avoid persecution is to not preach at all. Seriously, if you want to avoid persecution, don't preach. Stay silent. Don't share your faith. Just be exactly the same. Conform to the patterns of the world. Seriously, if you don't want to be persecuted, just conform to the patterns of the world. But that isn't biblical. It's not biblical for the people of Christ to choose to conform to the patterns of the world. We're called to be transformed by a renewing of our mind. He's given us a great commission, and that great commission still stands today. To go into the world, to go into our families, to go into our workplaces, to go into every aspect of our life and be real with who we are in Christ. Sharing that the reality of God's kingdom is here for those who want to receive it by faith. That in Christ Jesus we can be made a new creation. We need to prepare for pain and realize that there's purpose in the pain. Paul wrote, I'm unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I just thank you so much. Just feel led to pray right now. That you didn't come to condemn sinners, you came to save them. And I ask that your heart would be imparted to each and every single one of our hearts, especially mine, for people that I might bypass at times, God, just out of convenience, God. I thank you that you know each and every single one of them. So Jesus, I ask that you would prepare our hearts to be able to handle persecution if it comes or when it comes, that we would see the purpose in the pain, that there is opportunity to share why we would be willing to go through something like this because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Point number three, we need to be alert under arrest. Alert under arrest. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Have any of you guys been arrested? Yeah, a couple of people. I've been arrested once. That was when I was 16. I wasn't a Christian at the time, so it's okay. But when I was 16, a little bit of a story back down memory lane. I went to a party. And like most teenage parties at around that 16, 17-year-old age, there was a bit of underage drinking going on. And this was just... you guys know the roundabout where the United Servo is? Yeah, just about a kilometre from here. So my friend's house was like literally just there. So we'd been drinking. I thought I was like awesome because I'd been doing karate for like 8 years. And I'd had a few too many Bundys and Coke. And these guys came and beat up one of my best mates in the front lawn because he didn't have any cigarettes. These two random guys decided to come along and they saw there was a party and they were like, oh, do you have smokes, mate? And they just beat him up. And then they left. So I carried my friend up the hill because my house was at the top of the hill at the time. And my brother saw my friend and he was friends with my friend as well and was like, who did this to your mate? And I was like, oh, it was these two guys that gate crashed the party. So my brother, in his infinite wisdom of being 3 years older than me, was like, let's go back down there and sort them out. So, and me, full of Bundaberg and Coke and courage from my karate, thought, yeah, me and my older brother could take these two guys. So we went down the hill and we got to the bottom of the hill. It's Cambridge Road, isn't it? And when we got to Cambridge Road, there now wasn't just two of them, there was about 12 of them. They multiplied. They went and invited their mates along to the party. Now, they then approached us and we got in a bit of an argument and some people got kneed and people were in headlocks and I was really fortunate. I think I had one little bruise on the back of my head and me and my brother managed to knock out a few people. But then the police came. I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying this is before I came to Christ. I was the worst of the sinners. I feel like the Apostle Paul. But I got thrown... They put handcuffs on me. My brother just sort of took a few steps back and just pretended he was observing. And me and two other guys that had been knocked out got thrown in the paddy wagon, taken down to the station. And one of the most frustrating things is about 2.5 hours later, they let those two out to have cigarettes and they ran off. And I was just like, what? Because the officer came to me. It's just like, oh, we let these two guys out to have a smoke and they disappeared. They're like, do you know where they went? And I was like, no. I was like, we were fighting. I don't even know who these guys are. So I said to the officer, sorry, officer, I don't actually smoke, but could I go outside for an apple break? And he was just like, stop being a smart ass, get back in. I was like, oh. So anyway, my brother came and picked me up because I didn't recognize him. And he had his peas at the time. But anyway, I don't even know what the moral of the story is. I haven't been arrested for my faith. That was going to be the moral of the story. I've been arrested, but I haven't been arrested for my faith yet. But I think sometimes, I think sometimes we can be, you guys okay? I think sometimes we can be arrested in conversation though at times. I don't think any of us here could say we've been arrested for our faith in Christ Jesus here in this room. Has anyone actually been arrested for your faith in Christ Jesus? That's all I thought. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's because we're blessed and fortunate to have a nation that's built on Christian values. So because of that, we're not going to get thrown in prison currently for professing our faith in Christ. If I went and did that same thing in Pakistan, that might be a different story. But sometimes we can be arrested in conversation. You know, you can be talking about something and someone can just all of a sudden not jump in your face and say, Jesus loves you. But they can be like, what do you mean by this, mate? Jesus isn't real. And all of a sudden you're, whoa, okay, I'm arrested in this conversation. But the encouraging thing is, when people come at us like that, the Spirit of the Father is the one that's going to speak through us. And I just want to encourage you, let's be alert and aware when we're arrested. Let's be listening to the Holy Spirit. Let's be listening to the Word of God and allow it to bubble up and flow out of us to bring life to people in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. I sort of picture it, you know, the cricket season's just started. But do you know batsmen have got to be prepared for every single delivery? A batsman needs to be prepared for every single delivery. And if a batsman has a weakness, the opposition will exploit it. If a batsman finds it really hard to play spin bowling, you'll find that the captain will pretty much automatically bring on their best spinner as soon as that batsman takes the crease. And I want to encourage you, or I want to make aware to you, I should say, that that's how the enemy will approach you as well. He'll bowl a wrong one. He'll bowl a flipper. It's actually a dolphin. For those who haven't seen Flipper, you're thinking, this path is insane. But yeah, you're already there. But the enemy will bowl these different deliveries and try to exploit our weakness. And that's why it's so important for us to get the Word of God deep in our hearts, to get revelation and understanding, so that when those deliveries come, we actually have a defense that's going to stand up. We actually have a shot that we can play to actually go, you know, you intended this for evil, but I'm intending this for six. we need to approach it through listening and being alert to the Holy Spirit, the instruction. It's like the ultimate coach. But then also making sure that we understand the playbook, understanding the promises, understanding the teachings that we find in God's Word. I think I shared it a couple of weeks ago, but it was like at the gym the other week. When I was there, I was singing, oh, what a Savior, just in the locker room, because you just can't shut me up. So I'm singing that in there after I've had a shower, and this person just turns to me and says, how do you know it's not Muhammad? Because I was singing about Jesus. And I was just like, well, I don't know Muhammad, but I do know Jesus. And he changed my life 12 years ago. And the guy was like, whatever then, mate. I said, maybe I didn't think through the approach or wasn't shrewd enough in that moment. But I just responded out of what was in me. And that's all we can do. If we continue on. It says, a brother will betray his brother to death and a father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Students are not greater than their teachers. Slaves are not greater than their masters. Students are to be like their teachers. And slaves are to be like their master. And since I am the master of the household and have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called even worse names. Now, this section of scripture, you can sort of go two ways with it. you can look at it and go, what was Jesus saying to his disciples to help prepare them and ready them for what's about to happen? Trying to ascertain what Jesus was talking about. Was he talking about his second coming when he comes back? Or was he talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that was going to happen in 70 AD? Trying to prepare them and help them understand that there's only a finite amount of time for you guys to actually be able to preach in Judea before the Roman army comes in and just starts making this place hell on earth. Was Jesus trying to hasten the proclamation of the gospel in that space by doing that? Is that what Jesus was trying to say in verse 23, that he was going to come back? Like, I don't know. You can look at all this sort of stuff, but I'm not going to delve right into the theological, into the depth of all the different commentaries in this, because you can spend, this is a passage of scripture you could literally spend probably about 5 sermons on and then still get at the end and go, I'm not 100% sure. But what I do want to share, and this is just more from my reflections of implications for us today, is we can either choose to be liked by the world or loved by God. We can either, that's, when I read that and I just reflect on it, not from trying to understand all the context and contextualization, I said, if you want to do that, please read a bunch of commentaries, do that. I've been doing that on this passage, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to spend 5 sermons on that. We can either choose to be liked by the world or live loved by God. And if we choose to be liked by the world, that's a sad place for us to live as a Christian. No one can serve 2 masters. You will either hate one or love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We can't serve both God and the world. It's either one or the other. We can either choose to choose to be liked by the world, or choose to live in the love and the affirmation of our Father in heaven. I've had people swear at me for sharing about the gospel, but then I've had other people that have come to faith and given their lives to Jesus because I shared the gospel. And I'm sure many people across this room would probably have similar testimonies of that same impact of living a life boldly for Christ, that sometimes you have people that tell you to rack off, other people repent and give their lives to Jesus. And I think there's no greater joy. Last Sunday, I preached on my birthday pretty much, and then Grant sent me a message on Monday saying he got to pray for this couple. And this couple, I don't know if you mind me sharing, but this lady has cancer. It was in a brain cancer. And he sent me a message saying, Dan, thank you so much. Well, actually, he called me and said, did you message me first? I can't remember. But he called me and said, thank you so much for just sharing what you shared, because that motivated me to not just stay silent about my faith, but to actually say, can I pray for you? And these people were so receptive to being prayed for. And Grant's believing that next week they're going to come to our Christmas show. And I'm believing as well. I'm believing that Jesus would do a mighty work in these people. Because the world needs the love of God. People that are lost need to be found. People that are broken need to be made whole in Jesus' name. I'm just going to invite the team to come back up. It's better to live a life that loves God than to live a life that's liked by the world. So point 5, and this is the final point. Be courageous and tell the world. But don't be afraid. Everyone say, don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Church, we don't live in the dark. At this point, Jesus hadn't died upon the cross yet. Jesus hadn't resurrected from the grave yet. So at that point, they were still under the law. They were still under old covenant, being made right by the blood of sacrifices. But Jesus, through his death on the cross and through the resurrection, actually fulfilled the law by becoming the sacrifice for once and for all humanity. We don't live in the dark. We live in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All our sin is covered by Christ when we choose to receive that free gift of grace. So we don't live in the dark. That means that right now we can be people like when Jesus taught this to his disciples, he said, when you're in the dark, you know, it's all good. But when it's in the light, shout it from the rooftops. We can post on social media. I don't think that's always the greatest impact, but believe it or not, there's been a few people that have come to me and sent messages saying, thank you so much for sharing what you've shared on social media. You know, if that's the limit of your faith, then operate there. But know that there's more power in actually proclaiming the gospel in connection and in relationship, in face-to-face contact with people. I believe that the Holy Ghost will give you the words to speak and the words to say when we choose to operate out of that place of obedience, out of that place of faith. So be courageous. Don't be afraid. Shout it from the rooftops. This message of the gospel isn't a light that we're meant to hide under a lampstand. It's a light that's meant to be shining like a city on a hill. Jesus, I just thank you so much for your word. That your word, even the parts that challenge us, that we find challenging to read and go, what does that mean to me? That they transform us. That they have purpose. That there is purpose in the pain. And Jesus, I ask that we wouldn't be people that choose to settle into places of conforming to the world, but we would continue to be transformed by renewing our mind, by allowing the Word of God to take place in our hearts and to take place in our minds, by allowing the Holy Spirit's leading to be the governing voice of direction in our decision making. Not just our needs, but God, may we decrease so that you might increase. May it be all of you and none of us. Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life for us. And we ask right now, that we would operate and abide in your love so that the world may know your goodness. And right now, in this moment of prayer and reflection, we're gonna sing a song in just a moment, but I just want to invite people that if you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that anyone who believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord will be saved. And I want to give you an opportunity right now because I don't know where you're at with God. I can personally think to myself that you must be good with God because he came to a 10 a.m. church service. But I'm looking at the outward appearance. God knows your heart. And if you know in your heart that you just know about God, that you don't know God, I would love to lead you in a prayer to get right with God. That prayer is pretty much just saying, Jesus, forgive me of my mistakes. Jesus, I receive your grace. Jesus, I want to live as a follower of Jesus Christ from this day forward. And if that is you, let me encourage you. That's the only way we can be made right with God. There is no other way. Our works, the good things we do, we can't store up enough to actually get right with God. It's only through faith in Christ. So if you need to make a decision to get your life right with Jesus today, I would love to lead you in a prayer. But the Bible says, if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So what I want you to do is just lift up your hand nice and high right now, just so that you're acknowledging before man. And then I would love to lead you in a prayer. Does anyone need to make that decision here today? I made that decision 12 years ago. It was the best decision of my life. And I would love to lead you in that same prayer of repentance into that same intimate relationship. All it takes is a bit of courage and a bit of faith. Is there anyone that needs to make that decision here today? Just lift up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, let's all look up. Let's all look up. Was that all right, church? Yeah? Cool. I honestly, when I was preparing for this week, I was a bit like, this one's a tough one. And I hope you all received it with the heart that I intended it to be shared. I just want us to live more for Jesus. Next week is Christmas. Let's be praying for family members, for friends, for neighbors, for colleagues to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. And whether it's being a bringer, maybe you don't feel like you have the courage to proclaim your faith radically to them. That's okay. Hope you don't just choose to settle there for all your days, because God has more for all of us. But if that's where you're at, let me encourage you. Next week's going to be incredible. Katie, Alex, and the team, they've been doing, Lizzie, they've been doing an incredible amount of work to make this just such an inviting, warm place for people to come. And in Jesus' name, a place where they'll then come into relationship with God.